Welcome, friends, to Agency Wellness, the podcast. My name is Cody Marr. After decades living with the diagnosis of chronic illness, I began to ask myself if this diagnosis, this label, was really helpful. I started to challenge my own learned concepts as well as cultural concepts of what it means to be well. I spent years studying all sorts of techniques and experimenting with different modalities. I took course after course and certification after certification. All of this amazing knowledge has enriched my life and informed how I care for myself and who I am as a practitioner. However, my greatest teacher and my most credible source has been and continues to be my own amazing body. Agency Wellness was born out of the feeling that just like actors need agents to support and guide their careers, sometimes in the wild, wild world of wellness, you need a health agent, someone you can trust to help you navigate the various twists and forks and bumps you inevitably encounter as a human living in today's world who wants to feel well, be well, who wants to be, let's just say it, happy and healthy. This podcast will help you expand your knowledge, vision, and practice of wellness. I'll be bringing you heartfelt conversations with a variety of experts in fields such as naturopathic medicine, feng shui, life coaching, womb healing, psychic guidance, creativity, Pilates, and so much more. It's my hope and intention that from these conversations, you can begin to tap into your own unique and ever-evolving wellness recipe. I'll be right here with you the whole way. So, let's dive in. This week, I'm excited to welcome Rebecca Babcock, founder of the Babcock Method. After 21 years working in corporate America, Rebecca left health insurance and financial security to align with her purpose and passion. Her method, the Babcock Method, is a fusion of life coaching and career coaching that looks at life as a full spectrum experience. During our chat today, we dive deep into topics such as recovery and shame, thriving with compromised health, having fun as an adult, burnout, the difference between life coaching and therapy, and so much more. Rebecca is offering listeners of the podcast free VIP consultations, so head to her website to check that out. She drops so many nuggets of wisdom, so let's settle in together and welcome Rebecca to Agency Wellness. Welcome, Rebecca. So happy to have you here.
Thank you. And it's so wonderful to hear my name said properly and out loud in this context. So yes, I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. So there's so much that you and I could dig into, right? We have a lot in common. We've had a very similar, unique experience that not a lot of people have had. I really want to start with what you're doing with your life, this life coaching business that you founded and this method that you have and how you're transforming people's lives. And just sort of tell us a little bit about what that is and how you got here.
Yeah. So, and no big surprise, it has to do, of course, in part with being chronically ill. Since I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis when I was 16, when I was 38, I had my entire colon removed and I ended up having 5 surgeries, la, la, la. So I got to this point where I had survived all of these surgeries. And then when I took a look at my life holistically and not just the emergent medical, oh my gosh, surgery, 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 and said like, okay, I survived all that. The rest of my life felt a little not so great. And I'd been on a journey for a while, a sort of a self-discovery journey. And I'd done a lot of changes to my life outside of career, but I really got to the point where I felt like I had it all on paper, but I actually felt kind of meh. And that no longer was good enough for me. And quite frankly, I wasn't distracted by surgeries and getting ready for surgeries and this and that. And so when the first time I really got to pause and catch my breath, I thought, well, this isn't really what I want to be doing. Long story short, because I know we'll get into all the rest of that more, I kind of went out looking for somebody who wasn't necessarily a life coach and wasn't necessarily a career coach, but a fusion of both. And what I mean when I say that is a career coach to me is like, okay, let's look at your resume. Let's figure out what jobs you should apply for. And a life coach is like, what's the meaning of life? And I kind of felt like I have a pretty good understanding of the meaning of life now because of what I've been through, but I need to understand, I need some tools to align what I'm passionate about and what I feel like my purpose is in life with a way to generate revenue for myself, because it's not enough just to say, you know, I like to help others, but what does that look like? And what does that mean? And I couldn't find that. So I created it, and it brought me to being a coach, because that's really who I always was. So that's not necessarily like the output. Like, if you work with me, I'm going to make you quit your job and become a coach. But the idea was to start. So what the Babcock method is and why it's trademarked is because it's this really holistic approach to who you are, because who we are at work should not be different than who we are at home. And you and I are uniquely suited. We've had some, you know, as I say, life gets lifey, and some really lifey things have happened for me medically, but also like I was divorced by the time I was 32. Mm. When I was 35, I quit drinking and got sober, and the medical stuff, I've been fired from jobs. So it was like, I wanted to approach life as a full spectrum experience and life satisfaction as a full spectrum experience. And so that's what I created. Mm. So that's what I'm doing now.
First of all, thank you so much for sharing all that. One of the things that jumped out at me the most was this statement that people are different who they are at work and who they are in life. And I want to dig into that a little more, because I was a circus performer for 10 years. So right. It was kind of like who I was on steroids.
Yeah.
So I don't have that corporate background. I never really, I've worked here and there in corporate America, but like, right. I've never really had a corporate career.
You don't have my 21 years of experience just in corporate. Yes.
No, I don't. So I'm very curious to sort of, I think that might ring a lot of bells for people in terms of who being different at home versus work. So let's dig into that a little bit.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I will speak about myself and how it sort of manifested in me and when it stopped working. So as I already mentioned, and it makes sense on this podcast or with you to talk about being chronically ill. So starting at 16, I was diagnosed. This was before the internet, guys. Like, I'm 43. This was like, I was 16 years old. I was living with my parents in, you know, the suburbs of New York City. I'm diagnosed, and I just start kind of understanding that I'm going to have to do things a little bit differently than everyone else around me. And without, you know, that's a whole podcast. So without going too far into it, I just decided, and I'd love to give credit to myself or my parents or somebody. I don't really know how it happened. And maybe you can speak about your own experience, but I just decided that like, this wasn't going to define me, that my illness wasn't going to define me. And what that meant was that I had to figure out how to dance in two different worlds. Like, how to be chronically ill, but still go to my prom, how to be chronically ill, but study abroad while I was in college and go to Florence and have my mom ship my medication over to me somehow, right? How to be chronically ill and be 22 years old and working at Vogue magazine. And I was good at it, right? I was very good at sort of separating church and state, work and home. And it was also a sign of the times. Like, that wasn't an environment in which anyone asked you anything about anything. Like, you showed up and you did your work.
Right.
And there was actually, so my first 15 years of my career, I worked at Condé Nast, which is a pretty famous publishing home, like powerhouse. Yeah. So I was at Vogue, and then I was at Gentleman's Quarterly, GQ. At the end of my time there, I was at Glamour. So I was riding up the ladder. Meanwhile, chronically ill, in and out of the hospital, having to like sneak into the bathroom to take medications, and it just crazy, like totally messed up eating stuff so that I could go to the lunch meeting with clients, but like not actually eat too much so that my stomach didn't, stuff that only you and I have to deal with, but it is a universally understood concept. So my version of that is so extreme that when I finally had my surgeries and I had to kind of like wave the white flag and be like, yeah, I actually have an illness. Like, I'm going to need to admit this now. And I realized how much effort and work I put into showing up as a professional and what I thought the idea of that was. And also, after my surgeries, the amount of time I spent talking to people in my free time about whether or not they should have surgery or their experience if they were newly diagnosed or challenges with medications. And, you know, I lead a women's support group for women in the New York metro area who have IBD, things like that, that all I was doing outside of work was helping other people in a way that was very rewarding for me. And then it was like, okay, now back to work. So that moment where I was like, what if I could be me for work? right? And I could make hours that allow me to go to a doctor's appointment, or I personally work out every day. It's really important to me. And like doing that at a time where I don't have to feel, I used to get in so much trouble because I like to work out during lunch because I was too tired in the morning because I can't sleep well because I have a chronic illness. And then after work, I was too tired because I can't sleep well because I have chronic illness. So the best time for me to work out was the middle of the day, which is just like fully not acceptable. And like the fact that that's just what I can do now, or that I can take a day off and just go to doctor's appointments, or I, you know, whatever it might be, and that I'm doing what I love doing, which is helping other people, just felt so foreign to me. It felt like, no, you're, this is who you are during the day. You're the director of sales for a large media company. You make lots of money doing that. And then at night and on the weekends, you can be you. And it's such a disservice we're doing to ourselves, we're doing to the younger generations that are watching, you know, women my age, men or whomever's listening. This idea, and the millennials don't stand for it. They have a bad day. They're like, hey, my boyfriend broke up with me. I'm going to need to take the, and I'm actually making fun of that voice and I shouldn't, because I actually have so much admiration for the fact that they have a better understanding. But there's a whole generation of us, some older than me in my age, that just feel like, oh, at work, you know, you don't cry at work or whatever it is. That I'm not saying you should cry at work, but what I am saying is the more we show up as whole people, the more satisfaction we have in our lives.
Yeah.
Not always easily done, but that's the end result.
I mean, I'm just fascinated by that. And I really resonate. I mean, anyone that has a chronic illness and is trying to have a life, I call it like the background person. Like there's like the background person that's like running all the like in a bathroom and
the logistics.
Then, yeah. There's like the front facing person that's like, hi, how's it going? You know, there's a whole like different persona going on. So I just love that that is something that you have really brought front and center, because I think from sharing my own experience with chronic illness, what I've learned is that it isn't necessarily an experience that's unique to people with chronic illness. 100%. Everyone is doing this. Everyone.
And
this.
I think for somebody like me, who's also in recovery, it's like, I have two silent diseases that you would never be able to notice or see anything about by just looking at my face or listening to me talk or anything like that. And that it is in sharing my experience, strength, and hope with these things that I'm actually healing myself, right? The things that I was the most ashamed about, and Lord knows, Cody and I have a lot of stories about things that are, you know, not even for podcasts that we share with each other. But when I just kind of show up and share those things, and I'm usually the craziest one saying the loudest things, because what I notice is that it makes somebody else, I don't care if it has to do with diarrhea or not. It has to do with something you were afraid or ashamed to ever say out loud. And when you hear somebody else do it and you go like, oh, I can do that too. And because we all have, I always say this, we all have our thing. We all have something that we're ashamed about or we think we're different because of. And people like you and I end up being kind of like the poster people, like, well, if Cody and Rebecca can talk about it, then I should be able to talk about it. And it's like, there's no compare here. Like, I don't need to win the award for the gnarliest surgery stories or the worst medical thing, but I do want to win the award for sharing about it the most so that other people will do the same.
I really love this concept that we're centered around, because I think it's bigger than you and I. I mean, I know it's bigger than you and I. There's people like Brene Brown talking about vulnerability. There's TED Talks everywhere. And you know, it's interesting to dig into why and to understand why. Why have we all been so afraid to be ourselves? What has the last 2 years taught us about that and all this stuff? So my question to you is, the people that you're working with now, what are you seeing like as the challenges around being themselves? And on the other side, what are some of the shifts people make when they do finally just learn through your method, through the Babcock method, how to merge their personal and professional lives? Like, what are some of those transitions that you're seeing happen? So some people have like a concrete concept of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me get a little bit more concrete about like the foundational principles of the Babcock method.
Because that sounds perfect. Help.
Okay. Yeah. So the way I look at it is this, it's a pyramid. And you know what, actually, because I'm owning our Zoom right now, I might
own it.
I might, and I'll make sure this makes sense for anyone just listening, but I might share my screen just to
get
visual on this. But so basically, for those who are not watching and can't see this, I will also use my words, which is something I am able to do. So here's the big sort of interesting challenge, in my opinion. We are humans doing most of the time. We are so busy in our lives, right? We're we're our to-do list becomes our five-year plan, just because we're, you know, oh, I'll deal with that later. I'll address my life, or I'll figure out my career, or I'll make the decision about this or that, but I'm just so busy.
Right.
So the foundational part of my program, the main part, is to take a big step back and really become aware of who are you? What are your values? What actually matters to you? Aligning your values with your actions, understanding who you are, what your capabilities are, what your strengths are, what doesn't work for you, because we're each unique human beings, right? And it's sort of like no one listening or watching was paying attention to their left foot until I just mentioned it.
Right.
Oh, my left foot.
Right.
So the big thing that I work with people on is awareness. What is it that you really want out of your life even? What is this thing that you're working so hard towards that you're busy, busy, busy? Let's stop and let's figure out what matters to you and why that's important. So that then when you begin to take action, it's aware action. The things that you do are being done for your life isn't happening to you. You're choosing your life. So from there, once you're aware and you take aware action, you can really build confidence quickly, because it's what I call a mastery mindset. You either win or you learn. You don't win or lose. So by taking action that's built out of who you really are, what matters to you, who you want to be, who you are now, what your values are and all that, the action that you take, you learn something, you win, like it goes well for you. You have an interview and it goes well. Great. It doesn't go well. Cool. What did I learn? What do I need to shift? What do I need to change? And so ultimately that brings you to this place of being in choice in your own life, co-creating your own life, right? And by the way, at any point you take the action and you don't win and you learn something, you just go a step back, you generate new awareness to take action, to build confidence, to be in choice of your own life. So that's really, it's something that's sort of, I think, missing from almost everybody's lives. And so they come to me and they say, I hate my job, or I just feel the big common theme of all of my clients is they feel meh. Fine. My job's fine. They just kind of feel like they're settling.
Yeah.
Right. And so the first thing I want to do with anybody is be like, what do you actually want? And I can't tell you how often the answer to that is, I don't know. I've been just so busy doing. It's been a long time since I've paused and thought about it. And look, if you have a chronic illness of any kind, sometimes it's just, you're so busy just staying and like, just kind of trying to generate some homeostasis that you're like, oh, what do I want? I mean, I don't know. So that's a big thing that I'm working on with everybody is, you know, what is it that you actually want in your life? Not what you think you were supposed to have, not the checklist that you kind of were raised with and that you kind of take and say, okay, I should get, you know, and I'm guilty of this the most, get the job, get the husband, get the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then, you know, in my belief, you and I, people like you and I, we have this blessing that we had sort of life come in and go like, yo, hey, what's going on there? And then, you know, go from there. So I think the common theme of my clients is they feel like they're stuck, they're settling, or they're lost. And so what I want to do is ask them, what is it that you want? Well, I don't know. Well, let's find out what you're good at. Let's find out. And I don't even mean that professionally. I mean, in your life, what brings you joy? What doesn't? What is the stuff that you've been doing with dogged, you know, dedication that you actually really don't even care about? And you never even notice you didn't care about it because it's just what you do. And then we can start co-creating their life in a way that's like beautiful and created for them, that is vulnerable and holistic, because you have to first understand who you are. Stop doing so much and start thinking about who I really am, what I really want, what I want is, what's my personal brand?
How has this shifted your life?
Oh man. Well, the first thing is I have to walk my talk, which is tough. Yeah,
right.
I mean, and I feel like that's why I do this, because I did I took a good hard look at my life and I became aware that I was working on somebody else's checklist.
Yeah.
And so it's changed my life in the sense that to do this, I had to step away from corporate America for me.
Right.
Stepped away from corporate America. I stepped away from health insurance and a reliable income, because it was just separating me so much from who I really was. And I was spending all my free time doing this kind of stuff. And then going back and being like, excuse me, now I'm a salesperson. I'm a director of sales. What are the numbers and the projections? Not to say I don't have to do that now, but I do it for myself. So the big thing that's changed, two things. One is that I have to walk my talk. The second is that I'm actually really proud of my life. That's the biggest change. I was really proud of the way I handled my chronic illness. And I was really proud of my sobriety. And I was really proud of kind of the friend that I was. But now I wake up and I'm like, this is my freaking life. And it's mine. I'm totally in control of my life. If I'm not having a good day, it's on me. If if things are good, it's also on me. Right. So really like being able to say I co-create my own life changes everything about how I do. I can't be a victim anymore.
Right.
Like it's my life.
Right.
And so
off the table.
Yeah, it's powerful. It's hard and scary. Sometimes it would be nice to be like, I don't really feel like working today, but I'm still going to get health insurance and a paycheck. You know, it's like, I got to show up for myself, but I also feel like I'm a role model now in a real way. And that's, yeah. I don't think we can ask for much more than that.
So fun, joy. That's some of the other things that you talked about, right? So someone once recently, a friend of mine, I was having a tough day and she was like, well, why don't you just go do something fun? What do you like to do for fun? And I was like, I want to murder everybody that asked me this question because I have no idea what fun is. So I'm curious, is this something that you see? Like people don't know what fun is. Did you know what fun was until you had to like confront what fun was? Okay. I've since figured out what was fun for me, but I did not know.
So it is one of the biggest things that I work on with my clients. Cause it's something to your point, like fun for me was about a respite from how anxiety ridden I was in my life. So fun was going on a trip, getting a manicure or pedicure, getting a massage. It was like all these things that were sort of like, how do I escape my life so that I can have fun? And the reason why most of us aren't really sure of what fun is and what joy is because we feel like we have to earn fun. And we feel like there's so many things we should be doing. Here's a spoiler alert. Here's a, you know, some pre-coaching for everybody. The word should and the word shame are pretty much the exact same thing. So anything in your life that you're saying, I should really do that. You're never going to get it done because you don't actually want to do it. You have shame around doing it, right? You have shame around the fact that you haven't done it. You're not motivated to do it. So we have so many things we should do before we can have fun. And that was a real shift for me. And for me, it happened when I quit drinking. I woke up and I went to work and I, you know, worked out during lunch. I woke up, I worked out, I did good. I did all the things. And then at the end of the day, I could have my glass of wine. Right. And when I quit drinking, I needed to figure out a new reward system. Right. And I did not have one for a long time. And so when I first quit drinking, it was like, yeah, my life's better, but like, I just work more. Like my health's better. But So for me, it was taking, again, it was that awareness part, like taking a big step back and asking like, what do you do? This is how I figured out what fun was for me. What do you do? What are you doing when you feel totally in flow? Mm-hmm. And some people are like, what the hell is flow? And I'll say, when you completely forget to eat lunch, because for me to forget to eat a meal means like, so, you know, you go to the bathroom in 4 hours because you're just so engrossed in the thing that like time flies.
Right.
And usually it's not something that complicated.
Right.
It also doesn't mean that's your joy. It means when you're in that moment, it's actually like there's chemistry, like brain, like when you're stressed, your body puts out cortisol and adrenaline, right, which gives you a fast burst of energy, but it breaks down muscles and tissue, it breaks down tissues and cells. So it's very exhaustible energy. When you're in flow state, your brain is actually releasing catabolic hormones. Anabolic hormones that allow you to stay in that state because your brain's going like, this is a good place to be. Stay here. Keep doing this. So when you can find that, which is as simple as like, what do you do when you forget to eat lunch? It allows you to be in that state more often. So what I recommend to everyone is just find that thing. And they'll be like, well, I'm not going to go draw in coloring books for fun. And it's like, yeah, but when you're in that state, you're able to see more options and you're able to see more things. So I'd say some of the most common themes of it is going for a walk, going outside. For me, it's actually in community with others. And truthfully, I go for a run every day and that's where I have my best ideas. But I wouldn't say that's a flow state because I'm like, oh my gosh, how much further? But generally where we find our joy and our fun is just in the places that we're not trying so hard. And then when you're in that space, when you're going for a walk, you can start to think of things like, oh, that might be fun. And the annoying other truth is that most of us find that flow state is something that reminds of us childhood. Like it is coloring or drawing or reading or playing, or like I have one client who it's bird watching. Like he has no intention of being a professional bird watcher, but that's where he can go when he needs to put his brain into neutral. And then that's where other ideas come. So that's sort of answering your question. It's sort of not, but I think that we all put too much pressure on it. Like some, you know, we're all jealous of the person who's like, every moment that I'm not at work, I am jet skiing. I'm kite surfing. Like, not everyone has that thing.
Right.
But what you're looking for is, what is it about kite? How does kite surfing make you feel?
Yeah.
And that's what you find joy in. And that's what's fun for you. And for me, it was helping other people. So that's why I thought, why don't I go do that for a living? Because I actually find joy in doing it.
Totally. And I think that fun has gotten really mixed up with a lot of other things, like relief, relaxation, all of these, like a lot of the things you mentioned in the beginning, like getting a manicure. Is that really fun, or is it more like relaxing? Like, there's like a,
what is the, you're right. What is the result? When I do it, I feel pampered and it's something just for me. Okay. Yeah. Well, we don't have to pay money to go, you know, like there's ways to access that without doing the things. Also, I'm all for other people drinking that are good at it and can do it well, because I can't. But like, there's something in that culture too, that the way we define fun mm-hmm. is to blow off steam and kind of forget the rest of our lives. When you have a big, beautiful life that's fully integrated, you don't feel as much of a need to like slap the laptop shut and like go out for happy hour. I still, by the way, I go to happy hours. I just don't drink. Right. So it's like, but this idea of sort of like everything's so separated is how we also get a lot of burnout. Right? Yeah. Because we're exhausted.
That's something you talk about a lot too. So I think one of the challenges is that people that are in a burned out state, or the way I view it is like their nervous system's fried or whatever it is that's going on, they don't really have access to that because they're in survival. Like, whether they feel that way or not, they're literally, their body's like, Joyce, probably I'm going to curse now. Screw you. I need to stay alive, you know?
Yep.
So,
it's those hormones I was talking about too. Like, when you're in fight or flight, your brain isn't, I look at it this way. Sorry to cut you off, but I want to say.
You cut me totally off.
Related. So I talk a lot about this with my clients. So if any clients are listening, they're going to be like, we know all about this. So way back in the day when we were cave people, right? And we had finished our hunting and gathering for the day, and we were digesting our food and hanging out in the cave, and a saber-toothed tiger comes up to you, your body needed to immediately go from a resting state to sprinting for its life.
Right.
And the way it did that was through the breaking down of tissues and cells that create immediate energy, right? Now, here's the spoiler alert. Saber-toothed tigers are extinct, and we're no longer cave people, but our genetic DNA does not know the difference.
Right.
So you get bad news at work, you get in an argument with a friend, your body goes right back into that fight or flight and those breaking down cells and tissues. And when you're running away from the saber-toothed tiger, you cannot think of something else. You cannot think of a solution. You can only think about solving the immediate problem in front of your face. Now, there are many of us, and this is what burnout is, who stay in that state perpetually. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, it's going to keep you stuck. Because if you're running from the saber-toothed tiger, you can't look for a solution.
Right. Why would you? You got to stay alive.
You literally, from a chemistry point of view, like, your brain can't look for a solution because it's too busy breaking down tissues and cells to keep you alive. Mm-hmm. So it sucks when you're in burnout and when you're stressed, because it's almost impossible to break the pattern on your own.
Right.
Because you can't see the solution, because your tissues and cells don't have enough. So that's where it becomes really important to find out, where's that flow state for you, just to be able to make a pattern interrupt in all of this stress.
Yeah. Yes. And it's so interesting because, you know, we're in different coaching worlds. You're in the life coaching, success coaching world, and I'm in the health coaching world. So I'm dealing more with people on their health, and you're dealing with people, the different aspect of their health, in my opinion, but it's all related. And that comes to another point, which is that we've grown up with this kind of piecemeal idea of what it means to be a human, right? Like, I go to the doctor and the doctor takes care of my body. And if there's a problem with my body, that has nothing to do with the fact that I'm upset at work. And there's
crazy.
Right. And that the word you've said a lot of times is holistic.
Yes.
So it's, you know, it's really, there's going to be a question in what I'm saying, I hope. It's really interesting that you and I have had these very parallel experiences with our health, very similar, right? We've all often commented how similar our paths have been, like crazy sometimes. And it propelled each of us to help people with their wellness, but in very different ways. And so we're going to get to the big question in a little bit, but I think maybe just what do you see shift with someone when they have, you know, and that, I think what you said is really, here's the question. I think what you said is really important, that you can't do it on your own. Mm-hmm. Why do you think people are so resistant to working with a life coach or working with someone like you that has this amazing method? Like, what's the resistance for people?
Admission of failure. Mm. What it is, what I find most often is that people are like, well, it's not that bad.
Right.
And that's no way to live life. Right. And that they think that it's somehow like, well, it's not bad enough for me to like need a coach. And so here's something that we had, you and I talked about briefly before, but I think it's important to clarify. First of all, let me start by saying this about therapy and coaching. I have a therapist and I have my own coach. Right. So I'm a big fan of both.
Right.
To be clear, to me, therapy is about, what are you running from? What has happened in your past, or what are some experiences or things that have occurred that make it hard for you to just be present in today? Mm. For me, the way I coach is, what are you running towards? So we may still look at things from the past, but we're looking at it through the lens of, where do you want your life to be going moving forward? So if you look at coaching like that, you don't need to be at the bottom of the barrel to want to figure out what you're running towards. I can't tell you how few people in life have an actual 5-year plan. Mm-hmm. They want to make money. And when I say, what's your 5-year budget? What's that money for? I don't know. I need a promotion. I need a raise. I need a new job. I need this. I need that. What's it for? I don't know. So this idea of like having a holistic look at your life, right? Personal, professional, financial, health, wellness, satisfaction. Who doesn't, like, please explain to me why someone would be like, no, I'm good. I'm good. Because look, I have a tremendous amount of satisfaction. I still have a coach because I want somebody holding me accountable to making sure that I keep my feet to the fire. I walk my talk, I show up, and I keep growing in all aspects of my life.
Yes.
So I think that the sad truth is that people in every walk of life are settling for good enough. Mm-hmm. And it takes them being pretty miserable. And it's why I kind of lead with the career side of things, because people are more apt to say, I want to change my career, than they are to say, I'm not totally satisfied in my life.
Yes. I have a similar method. I really, you know, one of the things, there's a place called Canyon Ranch in Massachusetts,
yes,
like this fancy health spa. And one of the like mottos there, the sort of underground mottos, is you spend the first half of your life building your wealth and the second half of your life reclaiming your health.
Yep.
And I think there's something.
They have another mantra, which I love, by the way, which is moderation in moderation, which I think is very helpful, but go on.
Funny. But I think that, you know, I think you and I are kind of another poster children. We are, is like, don't let it get so bad if you can, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have, it doesn't have to, everything doesn't have to be transformed through this extreme pain. And I think there's probably some shame in people like, oh, I don't deserve to be that happy. That's, it's exactly not it. So bad. I have food, and comparing themselves to people in different places that don't have the means and all this stuff is, you know, obviously awareness is helpful, but the comparison is not. And so there's just something in people that have this, it's not that bad. And so I think that's,
I find it especially with women.
Yeah.
And with working moms.
Exactly. It's like,
right.
So yeah.
Who am I to, you know, as long as my family is taken care of and everyone's healthy and okay, like, who am I to, and the truth is, I ask every one of my prospective clients this: are you a role model?
Good question.
And every time I ask that to a working mom, they start by saying yes. And then they pause and they say, well, not really. Because in theory, they are working, but the reality is that they're not taking care of them. They're not putting their oxygen mask on first. And that's, I think, the biggest challenge for people in working with me, in the sense that they're like, who am I to invest in myself? Mm. If my hair's not on fire, if this isn't an emergency, who am I to invest in myself? And it's like, the happy, you know, our vibe attracts our tribe. The happier we are, the more we're able to help other people. And you and I know that because we're in the business of helping people, but I don't think others realize that it's terribly unselfish to have a big, beautiful life. Are you familiar with the quote by Marianne Williamson?
Yeah. Who am I? Blah, 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 blah. Who are you not to? Yeah. That one.
Yeah. Like, who am I to be gorgeous and fabulous and wonderful? Who are you not to, you know, you're not doing anybody any favors by playing small.
Right.
We were each put on this planet. And Cody and I think really speak to this. Like, we were put on this planet for a reason. And the two of us are like, is the mic on? We're here. We're here to tell our, we're here to tell our story. Listen up. You know, and I think everybody should feel that way. But if you're playing small, oh, it's not that bad. It's a good enough. Like, your others are missing out as a result of you not tapping into what you're passionate about. And when you're in flow, what that means for you, because we all find flow in different places. So let's share that with each. Let's get into flow and then let's do it for somebody else, you know?
Yes. And I think that, you know, I think some people think, well, if everybody thought that way, then there wouldn't be people that are doing X, Y, and Z job that needs to get done, which isn't true, because it's someone's totally passion to do that job.
And also, sorry.
No, go in.
Just, the other thing is like, just to be clear, you can have a job that you hate doing, but if what you're getting out of it mm-hmm. brings you joy, like if you dig ditches for a living and you don't love doing that, but it allows you to be outside. It allows you to use your muscles. It allows you to have free time to think about things or listen to audiobooks, or
right.
it allows you to have means to buy the things. Like, I'm not telling everybody to go quit your job, and like, what there is an opportunity to do when you stop taking action and you get become aware is like, what matters to me and how do I infuse that into my day-to-day life?
Right. And I think that's so important. Yes. And I think that's so important because I think in the social media world, and as coaching is exploding, there's the flip side where everyone thinks, well, I should be a coach. Well, I should be a coach. And maybe some of you should be coaches, but I think maybe some of you shouldn't be coaches, and not because you wouldn't be good at it, because maybe just that's not your purpose. And so I think taking the time to work with somebody to figure out really who you are, what you're good at, what are your skills. There's nothing more valuable to society than you can do. Like, it's a service to society. It's got not it. Only a service to yourself.
And 100%. We all have our thing.
Yeah.
Everybody has something.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So don't, my problem was I was trying to be somebody, something else, like, oh, so you know, I grew up in this wealthy suburb of New York City. I went to an all-girls preparatory school. I graduated magna cum laude from a very prestigious university. I got a job at Vogue magazine. I got married. I did all these things. And I never stopped to be like, is this my vision for me?
Right. You're just on the train.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And have you ever heard this? I love this metaphor. I don't even know if it applies to this right now, but I think it's so beautiful. It does. I was running on a treadmill on the train. I was on a treadmill, running so hard. And I thought, as things were flying by me in the train, that was my effort. And then someone shut off the treadmill and everything was still flying by. And I was like, okay, so what am I putting my effort towards? And what matters to me?
That's amazing. I mean, we could keep talking for hours and we'll probably have to do a part two. I'm going to drag Rebecca back by her with her pleasure. But before I let you go, I mean, there's a million other questions I could ask you, but before I let you go, let's talk about this. The question that I ask everyone on this show, and you can take a minute to think about it, no rushing, is what does wellness mean to you?
Wellness for me, and I think it's interesting that you of all people ask me this, because, you know, to somebody else, I would be like, oh, health is wealth. Health is wealth. It is true. But there's also been, my health will never be perfect. Not even close. I battle every day. Right. So for me, personal freedom is wellness. Living a life that I'm proud of and I feel joyful about, regardless of how lifey life gets. That's wellness, a feeling of freedom when there's so many confines on everybody, but especially people with a chronic illness, especially people with a silent disease that no one can see and no one understands and no one really wants to hear about your bowel movements.
No, they do not.
But my wellness is in the fact that I've come to acceptance of my life and my life circumstances and the challenging things and the great things, and really understanding and welcoming the fact that together, all of these bits make me who I am. And so mental wellness to me is sort of like, you know, it's like spiritual fitness,
right?
You know, there's many parts that go into it. And look, Cody and I were joking beforehand. This looks like I've been to McDonald's. I mean, there's nothing wrong with McDonald's, but it's actually not that. But like for me,
with McDonald's people.
I eat very well.
Right.
I exercise every day. I meditate and journal. I do not drink alcohol because that's what works for me. But that's not my wellness. It's also aligning my passion with my purpose. It's also understanding what my values are and making sure that's what I'm working towards every day. It's about walking my talk and showing up in a way that I'm proud of. And wellness is not just about physical health. It's about mental health. It's about a whole bunch of things. And for me, it's when I come into this life of mine with a really holistic approach of like, how am I checking off the boxes in all these different areas? When I put my head down on my pillow at night, have I done the best I could with what I have? Mm. And I could eat as healthy as I wanted to. I could take all my meds at just the right time. But if I'm not showing up that way in the rest of my life, I'm not well. And sometimes there's been times where my health has been terrible and I've been in the hospital, but I feel the most sort of engaged in my own life. And that takes, I mean, I hope no one else has to figure that out, but Cody understands because we've been there. Like that takes a certain type of a person, you know, like I say on my website, be a warrior, not a worrier. Like sometimes you've got to be in the depths of hell to really know who you are. But I mean, that's a gift in and of itself too, which is crazy. So I don't know. There's not one answer to me. Wellness is first of all, it's an inside job. And second of all, again, this is the theme of this podcast. It's really the holistic look at my life. And if I'm eating really well and exercising, taking my meds, but I'm being a jerk in my life, I'm not well. So it's the full holistic wellness approach, which is a lot of work and very much worth it.
And another reason why you're on this planet is because if someone can hear this call while we're talking now, or they find you some way else, you can help people not have to go through what we went through, perhaps, you know, if that's in alignment for them, if that's their path, then it is. But there are people that you can say, hey, I went down this really, you know, something I say to a lot of my clients, I took the long way so I can teach you the shortcut.
Exactly. Can I say one more thing? Or are we going to
please? No, we're not. We're in okay. Time. Go okay. For it.
So here's something that, was said to me that I relate to so much, and you will too. And it's why we do what we do. So it's sort of a parable, and there's a person who falls into a hole. Have you heard this?
Mm-hmm, but please tell me.
So they fall into a hole and a doctor walks by and they're like, doctor, help me. I'm stuck in the hole. And the doctor writes a prescription and keeps walking. And then a religious figure comes by and the religious figure says a prayer and keeps going. I don't know, maybe we'll add in some sort of a professional person is like, whatever. The friend comes by and jumps in the hole. And the person says, why in the world? Now we're both stuck in the hole. And the friend said, and the friend, by the way, spoiler alert, is Cody and myself and any other coach who's out there, and says, I've been in this hole too. Mm. And I know the way out. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get out together. So that's what Cody and I have done in our lives. We've taken being in the hole and we've said, well, that sucked. How can I help somebody else get out? Mm-hmm. And that to me is also wellness. You know, like I feel well when I'm also taking care of myself enough and putting my oxygen mask on first so that I can help you out of the hole.
100%. Yeah.
In my humble opinion.
Welcome to our holes.
Yes, exactly. If we can help somebody else get out of it, we'll jump back in it every time.
100%. Once you heal enough too, it doesn't feel like a hole anymore. It's just like a familiar place.
Yep. Right. Cause you know how to get out. That's the whole thing.
How to get out. Yeah. And you've healed the trauma of it. You don't have to, you know, I'm working with a wonderful person right now who's has an ostomy and is going through that process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're like, oh, how did you do this? How did you do this? And I, you know, what I said, well, I've healed that part of myself, so I can be there for you now. And yep. You've healed this part of yourself so you can be there for other people. So Rebecca, tell people how they can reach you best.
Okay. So apparently my name's a tongue twister. So I'll say it slowly and clearly. So my website's probably the easiest way just because you can find other things through that. And so it's www. That's pretty straightforward. Rebecca Babcock Coaching. So it's R-E-B-E-C-C-A-B-A-B-C-O-C-K, Rebecca Babcock. And then I think we all know how to spell coaching. If Instagram is your jam and that's easier, it's @RBC_coaching. Right. So anyways, those are probably the two easiest ways to get in touch. And thank you, Cody, for all that you do and the and for allowing me to come on and talk about my hole.
Thanks for talking about your hole. I hope we can chat more about your hole another time. And have a great day, Rebecca, and have a great day, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
A big thank you again to Rebecca Babcock of The Babcock Method. And a big thank you to you, my friends, for embarking on this path with me of exploring what it means to be well in this wacky world of ours. I'm excited to be with you again next week, same time, same place, otherwise known as every Wednesday. If you are feeling inspired and motivated to uplevel your gut health and reach your ideal weight without dieting, I've opened up a limited number of spaces for a deeply discounted summer offer. Shoot me a DM on Facebook or Instagram, or email me, yes please, to get started. You can also click the link in the show notes to book your free consultation and see if this offering is a good fit for you. That's all for today, friends. Wishing you a well week. See you next time. Bye.